Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So, devotees, please be kind and tell me, what verse are we reading today? Huh? 12 it is. Oh, okay. Acha. Okay, I just learned something about OBS. All right, so we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 12. Brahmavacha Tvaya Me Pachitis Tata Kalpita Nirvyalikata Yan me sanjagrihe vakyam bhavan manada manayan brahmavacha tvaya me pachitis tata Kalpita nirvyalikata Yanme sanjagrihe vakyam Bhavan manada manayan Brahmo vacha Tvaya me pachitis tata Kalpita nirvyalikata Yanme sanjagrihe vakyam Bhavan manada manayan Brahmo vacha Tvaya me pachitis tata Kalpita nirvyalikata Yanme sanjagrihe vakyam Vavan manada manayam Muttajas. is the phone? Is it? Brahma. Lord Brahma. Uvacha said, Twaya, by you, may my Apachati worship Tata, O Son, Kalpita is accomplished, Nirvyalikata without duplicity, yet since may my Sanjagrihe have completely accepted Vakyam instructions, Bhavan you Manada O Kardama, one who offers honor to others, Manayan, respecting. Okay. Let's hope it's all right. No protesting. Translation. Lord Brahma said, my dear son, Kardama, since you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity, showing them proper respect, you have worshipped me properly. Whatever instructions you took from me, you have carried out, and thereby you have honored me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oops. Lord Brahma, as the first living entity within the universe, is supposed to be the spiritual master of everyone, and he is also the father, the creator of all beings. Kardama Muni is one of the Prajapatis, or creators of the living entities, and he's also a son of Brahma. Brahma praises Kardama because he carried out the orders of the spiritual master in toto and without cheating. A conditioned soul in the material world has the disqualification of cheating. He has four disqualifications. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to be illusioned. He is prone to cheat others. And his senses are imperfect. But if one carries out the order of the spiritual master by disciplic succession, or the parampara system, he overcomes the four defects. Therefore, knowledge received from the bona fide spiritual master is not cheating. Any other knowledge which is manufactured by the conditioned soul is cheating only. Brahma knew well that Kardama Muni exactly carried out the instructions received from him, and that he actually honored his spiritual master. To honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word. Yes, very nice. Brahmavacha, Tvayame Pachitis Tata, Kalpita Nirvyalikita, Yanme San Jagrahe Vakyam, Bhavan Manada Manayan. Lord Brahma said, my dear son Kardama, since you have completely accepted my instructions without duplicity, showing them proper respect, you have worshipped me properly. Whatever instructions you took from me, you have carried out, and thereby you have honored me. Hare Krishna. Powerful purport. Powerful verse and purport. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyade Jatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchakapaturu bhyascha, kripa sindhu bhyavacha. Paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If I could have another cushion that would help. Normally we have two. Well, yes, thank you. This is very important, isn't it? It's very profound, extremely profound, that Kardama Muni has come to a very elevated platform of consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, of course. But one could, in a general say, of consciousness, and he's done that through following the instructions of the spiritual master. Yes, so Lord Brahma, who is both the spiritual master and the father of Kardama Muni, is appreciating him very, very, very much. Really just extremely satisfied that you have served me and you have done so really very nicely. That is just wonderful. It's really just wonderful. Anyway, this, we need someone who can operate a camera to adjust it, but we don't have, so there we go. So, yes, so he has served his spiritual master and father, Lord Brahma, so nicely that the spiritual master, that Lord Brahma has become so satisfied, and he addresses him, he uses the word Tata, Tata, which appears here and there. It appears in Bhagavad Gita a little, and in Bhagavatam also a little. It appears, Tata is a term of endearment, and it's translated here in the word for word as, O son. Well, in the verse itself, my dear son. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Tata. From what I've been told by Sanskrit scholars who I know, Tata can be translated as in the same sort of sense or depth of feeling as having that depth of feeling as darling. Would you agree? You're a Sanskrit scholar. Something like that? Anyway, that's what some couple of big Sanskrit scholar devotees told me. It's like saying darling. You know, it's really... You can't get much deeper in terms of feelings of endearment. Yeah. So, taking it like that, Lord Brahma is really feeling just so extremely satisfied. Because he gave instructions. Yeah. He gave instructions for Kardama to become a Prajapati. Kardama, we read a little while ago. Gosh, I've been here so long now. I can remember we read a few months ago, we read how Lord Brahma had asked Kardama Muni, or instructed him, instructed him, you become a Prajapati in the general sense of the term, which is that you produce many offspring, even like species, whole species. Some of these other Prajapatis, they produced whole species of offspring. Yeah, the birds, if I remember correctly, the birds. Who, from DT? Huh? Manika.
Manita.
Mother, Manita. Okay. Sure. So that was his idea. That was Lord Brahma's idea. But Kardama Muni, you might say negotiated with him or something like that. And wouldn't accept that idea. But he had another idea, which Lord Brahma accepted, of producing a son who, at least the idea was, as I recall, who was on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it happened, he has already appeared, is it? Kapila has already appeared. So he has already produced as a son the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's better than even the species of birds, or the demigods, or the this or the that. To produce the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a child, well, that's really special. So therefore Lord Brahma is, you could say, he's sort of overwhelmed with gratitude and just satisfaction and gratitude. You have honored me, to be told by your father. Fathers, by Vedic standards, fathers are usually on the strict side. Prabhupada talks about that sometimes, that a father is, that there's a Vedic instruction, never flatter, never spoil a son or a disciple. Yeah, always be in a correcting type of mood, never too much in the sentimental that, you're just so lovely and we just love you so much type of mood. But always in that mood of, nicely, of course, but clearly giving correction. And not, particularly not tolerating any nonsense or anything other than a good standard. Yes, a son or disciple. I forget the Sanskrit, but a son or a disciple. I was told, who told me? It was maybe, I don't think it was Satchikumar Prabhu, I think it was actually Madan Mohan Prabhu from Ermelo, who's the father of two devotees in the temple now. that the family, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, the family was listening to a class of Prabhupada's, and Prabhupada said that you must chastise, he used the term chastise, sons and disciples. And then a few days later, I think he told me, he chastised you. That's right. And you told him, and you, how old were you? 3 or 4. And she told him at the age of 3 or 4, you can't chastise me. I'm your daughter. I'm not your son. Oh, Krishna. But anyway, now you're a disciple, so some chastisement would be in order sometimes. So yes, for the spiritual master to say that you have honored me to a disciple or a son, which is, you know, kind of the same position, at least, you know, there's definitely a fairly close relationship. Oh, that means Lord Brahma is just, he's deeply moved by Kardama Muni and his sincerity. As Prabhupada says here right at the end of the purport, to honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word. There's another saying of Prabhupada, which we heard many years ago, that sincerity, Prabhupada was asked, we're told, what is sincerity for a disciple, for a devotee? And we're told that Srila Prabhupada said, sincerity means you carry out, you follow each and every of my instructions, no matter how small. Yes. This is, as Prabhupada says here, to honor the spiritual master. Brahma knew well that Kardama Muni exactly carried out the instructions received from him, and that he actually honored his spiritual master. So this is something we're all disciples. We are all disciples. And that is, you know, whatever position you're in life, whatever positions you're in life, which can include, you know, parent, child, relative, friend, whatever, all sorts of positions. If you have the position of disciple, that is the most important position in your life, really. Yeah. So this is very relevant for us because we're all disciples. We're all disciples. And the relationship between spiritual master and disciple is of paramount importance, and being corrected by the spiritual master. You may have heard me tell the story told to me. I won't mention the name of the devotee. He's not doing well or so well these days. But he was a very close disciple of Prabhupada and assistant. Yeah, personal assistant for some time. And, closely connected. And he told me personally he told me, just after Prabhupada left this world, less than a year, like maybe six months after Prabhupada left this world, he told me that he was serving Prabhupada, and every day Prabhupada would chastise him for doing or not doing something. He would chastise him. And this devotee noticed that sometimes Prabhupada would chastise him for doing something wrong which someone else had done. He had not been involved in whatever that activity was at all. It was someone else. But he got chastised. So, and this is every day. I mean, sometimes it was for things that he had done too. So one day he decided, next time Prabhupada does this, I will just bring it to his attention that actually, Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't me. It was Mother Himalata. So, okay, it happened. One of the days it happened. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, I just thought I should inform you that it wasn't me who did that. It was someone else. And Srila Prabhupada said, I know. And Prabhupada said, I am just trying to break your false ego. That's what he told me. Yeah. Yeah, personally. So the spiritual master, that's really an important relationship. And if it's accepted in the right ways, plural, in the right ways, and if it's really taken to heart in that sense, like we said, as the most fundamental, important, most foundational relationship in my life, then the effect it can have is, well, so profound that, as Prabhupada says here, if one carries out the order of the spiritual master by disciplic succession or the parampara system, he overcomes the four defects. That, to overcome the four defects, Hare Krishna, that is really some achievement. Well, it means that the devotee has come more or less completely to the transcendental platform. And basically, it would seem, is just situated in his or her eternal relationship with Krishna, ready to go back to Godhead, at least something like that. Because the four defects, they are extremely powerful, and they're basically, you could say, ruling the lives of the conditioned souls. At every step, it's either one or another or a couple of them or even all of them. Yes. So the four disqualifications, disqualifications, faults of the conditioned soul. Well, here cheating is particularly being emphasized, but all of them are mentioned. Let me just present them in a particular order. First of all, we have imperfect senses. So we are perceiving, we are seeing, hearing, and just in general perceiving reality in mistaken ways. Because we are dependent on our senses for how we perceive reality. So our senses are imperfect. That means from the outset, how we're going to then deal with reality and live, it must be faulty, because we're perceiving reality as it is not. We've heard of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Here we're talking about Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Really, and that means, sure, just watch out. Just watch out. So, senses are imperfect. Then, on top of that, we're prone to make mistakes. It is unavoidable that we will make mistakes on top of having imperfect senses. With our imperfect perceptions of reality, we then apply those in practical terms in life and carrying out our duties and whatever, trying to fulfill our desires in this world. But then, on the basis of the imperfect perception, we just mess things up anyway by making mistakes. And then we apply it all to an illusory conception of life. First of all, of who we are, that we are these bodies. So we perceived things imperfectly, that's all wrong. Then we made mistakes, we just multiplied the wrongness. And now we apply all that wrongness to an illusory conception which is far from reality, that I am this body and you are your body, and this world is full of bodies, and life means, you know, getting together with the other bodies in this world, which, you know, we're deluded to think is our natural home. And in illusion, we think we are just going to find happiness because that's the way it is. What do you think of that? Talk about a recipe for disaster. And then on top of that, we cheat. You know, we cheat many people, actually. But even on top of that, we cheat ourselves. That's really unfortunate. Prabhupada, many years ago, just after Prabhupada left this world, I was listening to a class. And Prabhupada was talking about good fortune and bad fortune. Yeah. And Prabhupada was talking about, in terms of misfortune, that in the material world, the closest and deepest, most loving relationship usually, or at least in so many cases, is between mother and child. But if your mother then aborts you within her womb, what can you say? That is practically the greatest misfortune that you could have. It's meant to be that extremely special, uniquely special relationship, but then she kills you. Such a person is unfortunate. Really, like, you could say practically the embodiment of misfortune. And what to speak of the mother, what's going to happen to her in terms of karma? She'll have her own misfortune coming in due course. But the thing is that despite this, what may seem like a hopeless situation and actually is a hopeless situation until one comes to Krishna consciousness. When a person comes to Krishna consciousness, the effects of Krishna consciousness can be and will be, if we really accept Krishna consciousness, accept the spiritual master, accept the process as Kardama Muni has done, one of the effects will be that all these four defects of the conditioned soul will go. They'll all go. And as Prabhupada says here, one overcomes the four defects. I mean, that is a very lofty idea. That's a very lofty idea. To go beyond that, one's senses will no longer be imperfect. One will no longer make mistakes. Illusion will no longer be there. And cheating propensity will no longer be there. This is not a small thing at all. This is not a small thing. But there are different interesting passages in Shastra which, you know, present this sort of idea. For example, Lord Brahma, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is speaking to Narada Muni in the later couple of chapters or something like that, in the last parts of the second canto. And Lord Brahma, well, initially Narada Muni approached Lord Brahma and addressed him and started relating to him as if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he expressed some concern that I see that you are addressing someone else as if they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So is there someone superior to you? Can you please clarify? And so Lord Brahma clarifies that yes, there is Krishna. And he tells the whole story of his enlightenment by Lord Krishna in the beginning of the universe. And he tells Narada Muni that on the basis of all this, I have become so fully engaged in devotional service. And that's all there is for me. I'm just totally absorbed in devotional service, and I'm totally under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the particular point in regard to what I was saying a minute or two ago is that then Lord Brahma says that therefore, because I'm completely under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, whatever I say is correct. I just open my mouth and out comes correct things. Because I'm under the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he will not allow it to happen that incorrect things will come out. There are other places where the same point or very similar point is made. Just an interesting example, a very interesting example. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the biography, or in different biographies I've read, it's pointed out that his spiritual master, Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj, was, on the material level, he was not an educated person at all. In fact, he was actually illiterate. He could not read or write anything. So, in that sense, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point that he had never read Bhagavad Gita. I think we've all read Bhagavad Gita, I certainly hope so. And perhaps we've read Bhagavad Gita a number of times and Srimad Bhagavatam also. This is Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj. He's the spiritual master of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is on, you know, in academic or just in any intellectual terms, but including academic, highly educated and like a genius, actually. Basically like a genius. You could ask him any question about anything, and generally he could give you a good answer. So he was known as walking encyclopedia. But he never read those things. He never read Bhagavad Gita. He never read Srimad Bhagavatam. He never read Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, whenever he opened his mouth, out came the Vedic literatures. Yes. Out came the Vedic literatures. Because such a person on that highest level of pure devotional service is always completely under the shelter of the Lord. And if there's ever anything which appears to be a mistake, it's not really a mistake. Like Prabhupada would sometimes, you know, misquote a verse a little or not remember of some part of a verse, and some disciple would, you know, sort of chip in there. But we shouldn't think that, look, this is a mistake. This is showing his conditioned soul. It's not really like that. It's not really like that. Because Prabhupada, whenever he opened his mouth, out came the Vedic literatures. And often you could say embellishments on the Vedic literatures. And his ability to understand circumstances, to understand people, their natures, and what was, you know, good for them, what was not good for them, was just, you know, by material standards, you would say it was just uncanny, completely uncanny. How could a person do that? But this is what happens. And of course, these things happen step by step. The more the devotee approaches the level of actual devotional service, but the higher levels of pure devotional service, that gradually the shelter of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord comes more and more, and so much is revealed or becomes apparent, which is sort of another way of saying is revealed, by the mercy of the Lord. So, Prabhupada puts this here, right as the last sentence in the purport. To honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word. This is a message to us. This is a message to us. Whatever standard, whatever level we're on in our Krishna consciousness, however attentive we are to following particularly Prabhupada's instructions, we must aspire for and try to achieve the level of just our whole life being situated on the foundation of the instructions of the spiritual master, in specific terms, knowing the instructions. I particularly like this in some devotees, God brothers, you know, I mean, they're all very nice, but some of them, a few, if they say something, you know, this should be done, or this is the understanding of this situation, something like that, they can then quote Prabhupada. Yeah. Cite Prabhupada. Even, in some cases, some practical experience with Prabhupada. This is really nice. This is really nice, actually. And it's related to how things are being expressed here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are some thoughts on this subject. But definitely we should take away from this ourselves and try to apply that we must work on carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master, means the initiating spiritual master, means Srila Prabhupada, upon whose instructions everything is based in Krishna consciousness. And even the instructions of the spiritual master, initiating spiritual master, are based. Like this, we should really try and do this and work on this. And in this way, honor Prabhupada and honor our initiating spiritual master and our Siksha gurus. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question, Maharaj? Jai Satchinandan Prabhu. Transcendental mistakes. Yes, the transcendental mistakes are not mistakes. They're, you know, sort of, what would you call them? Anyway, they're things or facilities for learning, for others to learn, and for learning, yeah. Something like that. Like, Prabhupada made the point, I cannot use, well, anyway, you know, certain technological things. He couldn't drive a car very well, as I understand. Or maybe he couldn't even drive a car, I'm not sure exactly. Which is, you know, it's a whole thing to learn how to drive a car. But that doesn't mean that it's a defect. It's not a defect. Yeah. Yes, indeed, Mother Rukmini. Okay. How do you what?
How do you, in that context, when we hear from the pure devotee, how do you understand what refers to material and what refers to spiritual? Because some quotes of Prabhupada are quite controversial.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. A crab or a scorpion, was it? I've not heard that. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, the point in principle was that what Prabhupada said it was, but it was the other thing. Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with the story, so what can I say? But Mother Rukmini, who did you hear it from? Oh, okay. So, yeah. From Kadambakananda Maharaj. He must have heard it from authoritative source, quite likely Jayadvaita Maharaj. That Prabhupada was distinguishing between, or trying to identify a creature. Yeah? Is it a crab or a scorpion? And according to the story, Prabhupada said it was the thing which it wasn't. Yeah, if it was a scorpion, he said it was a crab or something along those lines. So, and then Prabhupada said that not making mistakes means on the spiritual platform. Yes. Okay. Well, that's definitely there. But at the same time, by the arrangement, mercy, and, you know, intervention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when Krishna wants the spiritual master, or particularly someone like Prabhupada, but even just say the spiritual master, to analyze a material situation, it may be, that special sort of you know, input may be given by Krishna. This happens definitely with Prabhupada in certain situations. He analyzed what were essentially material situations, but very correctly, and other devotees who are kind of experienced in those situations, they gave other analyses which were wrong, but Prabhupada's analysis was right. So, you know, the thing is, it's not that the spiritual master, or just say an elevated devotee, is like a machine. You just press the button and out comes the thing, you know, the very thing. Spiritual master is a person. And definitely, now of course there are spiritual masters and spiritual masters also. We just read, I think 2 days ago, or maybe three, in Nectar of Devotion, how Srila Prabhupada is giving instructions to spiritual masters. And about, it was specifically about, don't accept unqualified disciples. Particularly that point. Plus it was also about, don't read too many books in order to become a sort of, you know, colorful speaker. Yeah. And Prabhupada warned about the accepting unqualified disciples. If a spiritual master accepts unqualified disciples, and particularly if he accepts for some sort of not so excellent reason, like to get money, then Prabhupada made the point, we read it, it's right there in Nectar of Devotion, you can have a look. It's chapter 7. Prabhupada says that the spiritual master, I forget the words, maybe that he'll fall down, or something like that. So different spiritual masters are on different levels. Yeah. I mean, generally, they all try their best. That's my experience. Yeah. But Prabhupada may utilize them in certain situations to teach lessons that we shouldn't do certain things. Yeah. In other words, they may try to do certain things in a very sincere spirit of trying to do something Krishna conscious. But then Krishna may also use them to point out in a clear way that let us not do like that. Yeah. And, you know, I'll be quite frank. When I joined, all the time we chanted, Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaura Bhaktivinoda. After at least a year of my being involved in Krishna consciousness, it might have even been 2 or 1.5 years, but it was something. We got a message came out to the whole movement. Prabhupada, occasionally we get these just, you know, by normal mail, announcements for the whole movement to do or not do something. So we got this announcement that from now on we do not chant Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya. We chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Yeah. And Prabhupada basically said it was not correct. Or, I mean, at the very least, it's not really the best thing. Because if you chant Bhaja, then you're addressing him very specifically as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that's not his mood. So therefore, Jai Shri Krishna, that term can be used. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, whatever the spiritual master says should be taken very seriously. But if one does have some other information, one sort of has a duty to present it in a humble way and, you know, like that. I hope we're addressing your point. I hope it's sort of at least of interest, maybe not complete. Hare Krishna. Oops, okay. Oh, he talks about that. Really? Talks about that subject. Oh. Really? We don't have it on hand. Oh, you've got it. Okay, here we go. It's Prabhupada, yeah? Or reporting. Okay, okay.
But it's a little different, some details, important details.
Whoa. How about the crab and the scorpion.
And about mistakes.
And how far should I read?
It's one anecdote.
Just the whole thing. Wow, it's up to there. Give us a couple of minutes, few minutes, devotees, and listen. So it is from, what's it from? Oh, it's Burijan Prabhu, my glorious master. So it's a little anecdote titled A Snake, a Rope, a Scorpion, or a Crab. One morning as Prabhupada, Shamsundra and I walked, a small creature crawled across the road. Prabhupada pointed at the crab-like creature with the tip of his cane. A scorpion, be careful. We continued walking as Shamsundar turned and whispered in my ear, "It's a land crab." A scorpion or a crab? A snake or a rope? I'd never seen a scorpion, but this creature looked quite like a crab. Prabhupada explains the perfection and knowledge of an exalted devotee, a spiritual master, as being on a completely different level than scorpions, crabs, or spectacles-free eyesight. In the following conversation, which took place during the 1975 Gopanima Festival in Mayapur. So, yeah, it does actually go on. You got to give us a few minutes here, but I think it's worthwhile. Prabhupada, yes, pure devotee does not aspire anything, simply to be engaged in loving service to the Lord, wherever it may be. It doesn't matter. Jayadvaita. They know everything, and they're perfect in everything. But sometimes from our material viewpoint, we see some discrepancies, just like we think that, Prabhupada, because material viewpoint, the viewpoint is wrong. Therefore, you find discrepancies. Jayadvaita. So we should think that we have the defect. Prabhupada, yes. Acharya is explained. Bhakta samsana. One who's preaching the cult of devotional service, he's Acharya. Then why should you find any discrepancy? Jayadvaita. Because we see, for instance, sometimes the Acharya may seem to forget something or not to know something. So from our point of view, if someone is forgotten, that is an imperfection. Prabhupada, then you do not understand. Acharya is not God, omniscient. He is servant of God. His business is to preach bhakti cult. That is Acharya. Jayadvaita, and that is the perfection. Prabhupada, that is the perfection. Hare Krishna. Jayadvaita, so we have a misunderstanding about what perfection is. Prabhupada, yes. Perfection is here, how he is preaching bhakti cult, that's all. Satsvarup. Prabhupada, in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, you write that a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. Prabhupada, Yes, if he follows the spiritual master, Satswarup. But how could he know? What does that mean, everything? Prabhupada, everything means whatever his guru knows, he should know that much. Not like God, everything. Within his limit, that's all. Within his limit, that's all. If he tries to understand whatever his guru has said, that much is everything. Otherwise, everything does not mean that we know everything like God, like Krishna. That is not possible. If he regularly chants and follows the regulative principles, follows the orders of guru, then he knows everything. That's all. Not very much. Knows everything. Then what is the use of reading books when he knows everything? You cannot expect anyone to know like Krishna everything. Jayadvaita. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the one who knows him knows everything. Prabhupada. Yes. Because if he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he knows everything. That's all. Not that he should know as Krishna. Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam. If he accepts Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, then he knows everything. That is finished. Jayadvaita. That knowledge itself is complete. Prabhupada, yes. Satswarup, if there's some material information that a person doesn't know, that's not really knowledge anyway. Prabhupada, I did not follow. Satswarup, if he doesn't know how many people live in Jayadvaita, just like Gaurkishore could not write, so it appeared that he did not. There was something that he did not know, although he knew Krishna. Prabhupada, yes, he knows everything. Otherwise, how Bhaktisiddhanta accepted him as guru? He knows Krishna, that's all. Nalini Kanta, what the spiritual master says, that's also perfect? Prabhupada, yes, because he doesn't say anything concocted. Whatever he says from Shastra and guru. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oops. Wait a second. We got a question. Oh, my gosh. Oh, dear. If you want to stay, you can stay. If not, you can go. There's a question here from Zoomland. Okay.
Вопрос из Зума. So, Guru Maharaj, what our attitude should be to senior devotees when they say during public programs and classes that Srila Prabhupada was saying like this, and after saying this, they say something what Srila Prabhupada was not actually saying. So what our attitude should be towards
okay. Well, they haven't quite come to that platform. I mean, that's a simple answer. Ikorovana ni sami visoki. Visokova. Okay. Hare Krishna. It takes time. And in the meantime, you know, some correction occasionally is required. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.